Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. The natural man simply cannot conceive of what this is all about. The natural mind just can't get it. These two demonstrate it. They told the story of all that happened, but they didn't get it. There has to be illumination. God, the Holy Ghost, has to do something in your heart and in your mind to help you to understand. It's called illumination. There has to be revelation. I remember when I got saved. I'd been witnessed to here and witnessed to there, and finally God came to me. And I knew it was Him, and I told the story before, and I'll tell it a bunch more times. But when I said, "Yes, okay, I will serve you. Do what you want me to do, etc." And I remember I was facing toward the door, and I turned toward the window in the other corner, and I saw Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. And I had one thought: He died for me. That's what He showed me. After I finished shouting and thanking God that He had delivered me from the bars and delivered me from drugs and drinking, I had a Bible and I read it, and I read 4 chapters, 5 chapters in the book of Matthew would have you. My roommate came in and I started to witness to him. I'm 2 years old in the Lord. I got my great Bible college education, read 5 chapters in the book of Matthew. And looking back, everything I said, you know, when you try to witness to somebody, they'll give this excuse and that reason. And I answered him right every time. Not because of me. Not because of, I didn't know nothing, but God. The revelation helped me to understand. I love to tell the story. Got to stop, got to move on, but I'm so glad I'm born again. I'm so glad I'm delivered. But illumination and revelation are necessary. A head knowledge won't do and will not save. Conversion and salvation is a supernatural event, not a religious happening. Verse 22-24, it says that they told, we studied last week, that the women came and they saw the empty tomb, and Peter came and saw the empty tomb, and we got all, man, we don't know what to do about that. And then somebody else came and said that he was alive. They saw him, and like, it really messed with our minds, and they just didn't get it. They had witnesses that saw it. They saw the empty tomb, the napkin apart by it. So they saw all this stuff. And they even had people saying, "We saw him alive." And they didn't understand, and they didn't get it. I mean, what more do they need, right? But then in verse 25 through 27, again, Jesus, I guess I kind of skipped over it a little bit, but when he first got into step with them, he said, "Why y'all all sad and whatever?" And he didn't lie to them. He asked questions. "Well, what y'all talking about? They didn't hear all the things, you know, all this stuff in Jerusalem." And he said, "What things?" He sort of halfway played dumb for a reason, to get them to talk, to get them to think. And they recounted the testimony. But then he stops playing dumb. In verse 25 to 27, he said unto them, "Thou fools, and slow of heart to believe not what was said about the empty tomb." But they needed to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Old Testament. This is Resurrection Day. I'm so glad we got 27 more books. That's great. But on Resurrection Day, nobody ever thought, hey, I'm going to write the book of Romans. Nobody ever thought that. No New Testament existed. But Jesus went to the Old Testament, the only Bible they had, and said, you ought to believe what the prophets said. And he said in verse 26, shouldn't Christ have suffered those things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses, when we say Moses, yes, there's the man, but there's the law, the Pentateuch, the five books, the first five books, Moses, books he wrote. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Again, lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Everything you want to know about Jesus, except maybe his name, you can find in the Old Testament. And that's what he did. He went to the Old Testament, as we call it, the Hebrew Scriptures, and he showed, started at Moses and went on through the book. Right? In every one, every book, we count it 39, every book you can find redemption. Every book. Prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. Symbol after symbol. Foreshadowing or type after foreshadowing. He's all over it. But this 7.5 miles, it took 2 or 3 hours to get, maybe a little bit longer because it was rocky. I don't know. Back then, if all you did was walk, you can walk pretty good, right? A normal gait is about 4 miles an hour. If you step on it, you can make 5. I used to walk 4 miles back and forth to work for about a year. I know about that. I had a lot of fun. Not. But during this time, this couple of hours, what have you, he begins to preach Christ, the Messiah, from the Old Testament. He doesn't say, here, this is me. But he preaches the Scriptures. And it says that, verse 28, 29, it says that they got to where they were going and, you know, it's getting late and Jesus, hey, why don't you, you know, well, they didn't know who he was. But to Jesus, they said, hey, you know, why don't you stay? It's kind of getting late. You know, I don't know where you're going. And it says he wanted to go on. But they made him stay. Number of things there. Let me throw something at you. God come in the flesh. Spends time late in the day talking to these two and discussing the Scriptures. Genesis 3, verse 8, Adam and Eve, 2, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Sun starts getting down. It's cool of the day. Jesus was walking with these two in the cool of the day. Man, that blew me away when I saw that. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you'll find evidence of Jesus Christ all over the Old Testament. All over. God still enjoys walking and fellowshipping with those that he loves. John 15, verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants. Now, every time you read Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, and that's fine. I'm a nothing. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. But he says, henceforth, I call you not servants, but friends. He wants to fellowship with us. And he's God and he's Almighty, and I'm nothing, just a piece of dirt. But he calls me his equal in that regard. He wants to be my friend. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God. But it says in verse 30, and it came to pass that as he sat at meat, or they had supper, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And you'll find that in all four Gospels. You'll find that Jesus did this all the time. He took bread and he blessed or prayed, thank God for it, and he broke it and he passed it out. And it says in verse 31 that their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And he said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we were walking that couple of miles or couple of hours or whatever it was? Didn't, man, he was talking about the scriptures and what happened with David and what, man, it, we knew something was in our heart. Our hearts burned within us. But they didn't get it until they saw him take bread and bless it, break it, and give it. Then they knew him. This is something he did all the time. This was his way. And they recognized his mannerisms. Now, they had the testimony from all those people that, hey, the empty tomb, and hey, somebody even said they saw him. And they had the testimony of all the scriptures from Moses and the prophets that Jesus himself taught. But it wasn't until they saw him bless the food that they understood who it was. That's astounding. Mark chapter 14, verse 22, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and break it, and blessed it and break it and gave to them. And they said, take, eat, this is my body. This is something he did a lot. Matthew 14, he commanded the multitude to sit on the grass. He took 5 loaves, 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed, he brake, and gave to his disciples, and his disciples to the multitude. This is what he did. This is what he still does. It's a picture of God calling a person to salvation. He takes you out of sin, out of the world, and makes you his. Then he begins the work of sanctification. He blesses you. It may be 6 months, a year, 2 years, things are great. And then things get hard. He begins to break you. You can't stay in the mountaintop, but sometimes you got to go down to the valley. You got to be told, hey, you shouldn't be going to that movie house. You got to be told you shouldn't be rude. You shouldn't be. He has to break us. We have to give things up. If any man follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, the instrument of his own death, and follow me. There has to be, fine, God takes you, he blesses you, but he has to break you. But when he's finished with this breaking, then he can actually give you. He can use you. He can use you in ministry. He can use you. But you have to be broken. There has to be sanctification and brokenness in your life. It's God's way. And that's how the disciples recognized that they were sitting and eating with the risen Messiah. I want to run through this real quick. We understand that Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And in John chapter 21, now think of Peter. He denied the Lord, and there was the Lord sitting there eating with him again after he'd risen from the dead. He felt like a heel. He felt horrible. He said, Simon, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you agape me? In English, we got a few words. In Greek, there's specific words. Peter, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter said, you know that I phileo you. I love you like a brother. Not, look at me. I'll go to the death. No, there's none of that anymore. No more boasting. You understand? He was broken. You understand? Peter, Satan hath desired you to sift you as wheat. But after you're converted, or after that breaking process, Jesus asked him two times, do you agape me? And he said, you know, I love you like a brother. And then finally, this killed him. Verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me like a brother? Oh man, he felt horrible. But that's God showing Peter that, hey, first off, you're mine, or I wouldn't have had you go through all of that. Second off, I love you. And third, hey, you're going to come through the fire like gold, right? Suffering is part of the gospel. If your church doesn't preach suffering, you're in the wrong church. That clown on TV doesn't talk about suffering, always talks about your money. You're watching the wrong program. Acts 9, verse 16, for I will show him, Saul, later, the apostle Paul, I will show him the things, the great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Suffering is part of the gospel. But let's get back to Luke chapter 24, verse 36, it starts. They were talking, whatever. And Jesus himself stood in the midst when everybody was together and said, peace be unto you. And it says that they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. In our language, they thought they'd seen a ghost. Again, they don't get it. They don't get it. He had to say, hey, you know, touch my hand, Thomas. Put your hand in my side. He had to pick up some food and eat it to demonstrate he was alive. And it was really him. Again, 3.5 years they went everywhere with him and they didn't recognize him. And even when they knew he had risen from the dead, he shows up, boom, and they're cowering in fear and hiding under the table or whatever the case. He's God come in the flesh. You can't forget that. He's God come in the flesh. It's a lot we don't understand. He's 100% God, 100% man. And they knew him as 100% man. They didn't understand he was God. There's a lot there, a lot I don't understand myself, but that was their reaction. When he appeared, they were afraid. Mary Magdalene wasn't afraid. She was so happy to see him, but they were afraid. Remember in Mark, when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and he was still alone on the land. And they were toiling and rowing all night, for the wind was contrary. The wind was contrary to them. It's hard going. There's suffering. There's breaking. You understand? Sometimes you want to serve God, things get rough, and you don't understand at all. You plan something and it fails. Well, God, you told me to do this. I don't understand. Because the wind was contrary. But it says that in the fourth watch of the night, I guess 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And just like we read here, those two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They got to Emmaus. He wanted to keep going. Just like 3 o'clock in the morning, they were in the middle of the sea rowing. And Jesus came walking on the sea and was passing them by. Passing them by. That means something. We'll get to it. But they saw him walking on the sea and they supposed it had been a spirit or a ghost and cried out and etc. and etc. The same reaction. The same reaction. They were all troubled. And immediately he talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Again, he's God come in the flesh. We cannot forget that. They had the same fear, both events, when they saw Jesus, but he gave them the same reassurance. Again, there's a lot I don't understand. They don't understand, I guess, but they saw him, but they didn't see him. They saw a part. I mean, when he came to the earth, he was born as a baby in a stable. He didn't come and sit on the throne of Rome and say, I'm God, look, I'm in charge. He came the humble way. But he's both. He is king. And I guess, again, I don't understand, but I guess that at his resurrection, more of his deity shone through. I guess. But this is the record. This is what it says. What are we looking on time? 8 o'clock. I'll kind of hurry up. I guess we have to skip a bit, but it says in verse 44 and 45 that he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Again, you have to go to the Bible. And praise God, we've got 27 new books. Those are great too. But if you want to know God, you've got to know Him through the Bible. You've got to get your revelation, not from YouTube and television, but from the Bible. Be a Berean. They were more noble than anybody else. Paul was preaching and they loved it, man. They was having a camp meeting and whatever. Can we go another week, Paul? And that's, you know, Pentecostal camp meeting. But they said, hey, look, that's great, but let me see that book you're reading out of. And they said, well, he said this, we're going to test this book for ourselves. Man stands behind a pulpit anywhere and says something, you better know it's in the book. And if you're not sure, you go study the book. Make sure he's right. Because many people stand behind pulpits and mislead you. And you need to be careful. Go to the book. Make sure what the guy behind the desk is saying is correct. Make sure. And he gives more testimony. Again, he went to the book. And Jonah. We know that Jonah, God prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And Jesus quoted it in Matthew chapter 12, 3 days and three nights. Remember what they said when Jesus first started to talk with them on that way, and it's been 3 days since that happened. We have to go to the book. You have to base your Christianity by the book. We're Pentecostals. We believe in prophecy and tongues and word and knowledge and wisdom, and that's great. But you need to prove it by the book. I guess I'm a broken record, but you need to prove it by the book. We need to go look in the book. And I'm going to continue to say it until God takes me home. We need to find Christ in the book. Let's finish this up right now. In verse 49, he talks about, hey, you're going to send the promise of the Father, and that's, you know, what happened in the day of Pentecost. And it says the last few verses that he went up to heaven. He went up to heaven. Jesus is coming back, and like the pastor has been saying, occupy till he comes. Let's be about the Father's business.
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.